help us commence this evening with hymn 218. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those that guilty stand. Wretches that feel what help they need will bless the helping hand. 218.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, reading from the Gospel according to Luke, part of chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, reading the first 46 verses. Luke chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us for Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. They began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down, and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, do help us to come before thee now as we take thy holy name upon our sin-polluted lips and come before thee in this attitude of prayer, that we might come unto the Father through the Son, by the Spirit. O, grant us, Lord, that spirit of true prayer. O, Lord, that we might truly pray. How oft we bemoan our prayerless prayers. How often we fear and tremble that we ask amiss, seeking to consume it upon our lusts. Lord, teach and help us to pray aright, to ask in faith, to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known unto God, to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, if we have come rightly to the house of God tonight, it's a time of need. Lord, we need thy presence. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. O Lord, we need thy Spirit to take of thine and show it unto us. Lord, we need our hearts to be prepared, our hearts to be softened. Lord, we need thee to remove from our minds all the things of this world. O Lord, as we turn in from the busy scenes of life, the many things which have occupied ourselves this day, either in the workplace, school or college or at home. Lord, with some it may be the first time they've sat quietly all day, and how tiredness and weariness at times can overwhelm and prove another distraction, another disturbance. Lord, it is a time of need. O Lord, prepare our hearts to receive thy word, and may faith be mixed with what we hear. O, help us as we have read truly to watch and pray, lest we also enter into temptation. O Lord, for we know that Satan can even enter into a house of God, and to prove such a hinderer, oh, such an accuser, and causing our minds to think on other things rather than the things of God. Lord, it is a time of need. We need thee to keep Satan away. Oh, Lord, then do come thyself and grant us thy felt presence. Oh, Lord, a time of need. Oh, Lord, we need thy word. We need thy Spirit to apply thy word. Lord, it may be with one and another, that need of a word in due season, that need of a good Samaritan to come where they are, that need of the oil and wine of the gospel, or that need of the precious blood of Jesus that cleanseth from all sin, or that need of his spotless robe of righteousness, or that need of a blessing. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Lord, those who need the Lord to appear, the Lord to provide, those who need thy help. Lord, those who need strengthening, those who need upholding, those who need keeping. Oh Lord, thou knowest the needs of each and every one. Those who need a precious Jesus.
are the one thing needful. Those seeking souls who feel so burdened, so troubled, so tried, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Those who need to find thee. Lord, those like the woman with the issue of blood, who come seeking Jesus, but all that crowd around him will be found, that crowd of unbelieving fears, all that need of faith to press through the crowd, all that need of faith to believe, if I may but touch a hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Lord, there are those who may need comfort, who may need encouraging. Lord, there are those who need guiding and directing. Lord, there are those who need reviving, perhaps restoring. Those who need healing. Oh, Lord, those who need a touch, a token for good. Oh, those who need a word from the Lord. Lord, thou knowest the needs of each and every one. Would it please thee to supply every need? Lord, may this be the time, the occasion, for the Lord to appear. O Lord, how often thy people know what it is to leave thy house disappointed, feeling that there was nothing, or feeling to have been passed by. O Lord, thy people know what it is to feel to be forgotten and forsaken. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favourable no more? Have God forgotten to be gracious? Have he in anger shut up his tender mercies? All these fears, these temptations, Lord, they're real. And at times they're powerful. Oh Lord, the dear souls here who often perhaps have felt disappointed. Lord, those who need answers to their prayers. I cry and shout, but all my prayer he shutteth out. Lord, it may be particular answers to particular prayers in particular things. Oh, how they wait upon thee. How they cry unto thee. How they look to thee. How they would hope in thee, but still there is nothing. O Lord, do appear. Mercifully come. Be very gracious. Lord, we believe if there is one thing the child of God so feels, his unworthiness. Oh, so unworthy of the very least of thy mercy. Not deserving of any good, any favour, any blessing. Oh Lord, that sense of sin, guilt of sin. Oh Lord, feeling to be such great sinners, awful sinners, wicked sinners. Oh, the guilt of sin, the shame, the sorrow, the sadness, the distress. Oh Lord, how these fears can keep one, even from the throne of grace, even from a gracious, merciful God. And yet, Lord, to prove to whom shall we go? And to know it would be wrong to go to man, to an arm of flesh, to know that there is no help in self. Oh Lord, then to come as beggars. To come and lay prostrate before thee. To come and put our mouths in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. To come hoping against hope. Oh, to come in confession. Oh, to come with a broken heart. To come with a contrite spirit. To come just as we are. Oh, to come to one who receiveth sinners. One who is merciful, gracious. Oh Lord, one who has promised, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And now thou in thy kingdom art, dear Lord, remember me. Lord, is there one here crying out tonight? Remember me, a poor, weak, worthless, sinful worm. Remember me. Or one who feels to be so hard-hearted, so full of unbelief, so troubled with doubts and fears. But Lord, remember me. Remember me with a favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Or visit me with thy salvation. Lord, such in a time of need, who needs such a visitation. O, when wilt thou come unto me? And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus cometh unto them. It is I, be not afraid. Lord, remember each one gathered here. Remember those in special cases. O Lord, remember such, we pray, we would remember those unable to be here this night, those laid aside in weakness, affliction, sickness, infirmity, those at home with little ones, and Lord, those in employments and labours. We pray for any who are away at this time, and Lord, we think of the deacon and his dear one, as we understand, perhaps travelling back now from their time away. And may they feel that refreshment, that benefit of a time seeking rest and change. O Lord, do remember this cause of truth. And may they yet prove that thy spirit remaineth here. And may there yet be those evidences of thy spirit's work. Bless the church. Bless them with peace and love and unity, harmony and prosperity. Remember the officers of the church and grant much grace and wisdom in matters to be dealt with. Bless each one in the congregation, from the youngest to the eldest. And, O Lord, could it please thee to draw others in also, such as shall be saved, and bring back their prodigals. Lord, thou alone art able. Bless the ministry of thy word here. Help thy servants who preach from time to time. Lord, if it be thy holy will, grant a settled ministry here. Lord, do remember Zion, remember the churches. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? O Lord, shine upon the churches, lest they die. Many causes are so diminished and brought low, some struggling for survival. O Lord, thou hast been very gracious to this cause, and we see many more here on a weeknight than often we see in a Lord's Day morning, and so many causes. O Lord, do have mercy. And do be pleased yet to raise up and equip and thrust forth others into the gospel ministry. And Lord, where there may be one and another in exercise, great exercise, deepen that exercise. O Lord, prepare them for that time when they must go forth and show themselves unto Israel. Lord, what a great need there is even in this, as a number of thy servants now in old age and attendant weakness cannot go forth as once they could, and the burdens falls upon the younger. O Lord, who have mercy upon our guilty land and nation, what can we say? O Lord, stem the great tide of sin and iniquity. Rule and overrule, turn and overturn, even the wicked devices of evil men. O Lord, raise up to high office those who love and fear thy name, who seek to do that which is right in thy sight. O Lord, in wrath, deserved wrath, We do fear at times imminent wrath. Remember mercy. We would be thankful for every blessing, every favour. O Lord, grant us grace to count our many blessings, and yet we shall prove that they are innumerable. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, like those disciples of old, the question, lacked ye anything? Nothing. Nothing, Lord. Oh, Lord, we would acknowledge thy goodness, kindness, faithfulness. Oh, who is a God like unto thee, the one true living God? May we be found amongst thy people, the living family of God, those who love and fear thy name, those who find grace in thy sight, those made willing in the day of thy power, all those who can say unto you therefore which believe, he, the Lord Jesus, is precious. Now, Lord, do hear our poor prayer, forgive our every sin, and grant us help as we turn to thy word. Open it up to our understanding. And, Lord, as we trust each one has been brought in peace and safety here, so following this service, take each one back to their homes in peace and safety, and all with a blessing and handful of purpose. Compassion on us have, we pray. And empty send us not away. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 146. Where must a sinner fly who feels his guilty load and stands condemned to die out of the mouth of God? Can any door of hope be found, not any shore on nature's ground? 146.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 22 and verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Luke chapter 22 and verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. It is particularly these words in verse 32, that I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, which have rested upon my spirit to venture to speak from, that thy faith fail not. What is faith? What is the faith set before us here? What do we understand when we either read or hear of faith? And is it a concern to us whether we possess this faith? Some say that having faith is believing in God. Well, partly yes, that is true. But remember the words of the Lord Jesus. The devils also believe in God and tremble. So just a mere belief in God cannot fully comprehend the faith set before us here. Surely this faith must have an object. And the object of true faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Word of God incarnate, as we come again to the time of year, we especially remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, the incarnation of Christ, but also the Word of God written, the sacred scriptures, wherein by faith we view Jesus Christ written upon every single page. The hymn writer penned concerning the Bible, if aught there dark appear, bewail thy want of sight. Jesus Christ throughout the whole canon of Holy Scripture. Now this faith, which believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, believes in him as the Son of God, the Lord from heaven. Faith believes in the Trinity, the Trinity of persons, one God, but three persons in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And faith believing the Word of God believes what is written. What is written concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. There were many in the days of the ministry of Jesus who heard his voice but did not believe in him. They did not believe that he came down from heaven. They did not believe that he was sent of God. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. Or they did not believe in whom he said that he was. They did not believe that he was whom the scriptures set forth to be the promised Messiah. They didn't believe in the word of God. They didn't have that faith to believe. You think the opposite of faith is unbelief. And in the Hebrews, we are told of the children of Israel as a people in the wilderness who came forth out of Egypt, but of those who did not enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. They didn't believe in God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, the faith of every true child of God, this faith is given, it's a grace. And where the work of grace is begun by the Holy Spirit, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And without the new birth, there can be no grace. And where there's no grace, there can be no true faith. It may be a great concern to one or another. Am I made a real Christian? Have I really been born again? Well, as it is in nature, we cannot remember the day of our natural birth. So often it is spiritual. One cannot pinpoint the time that they were born again. But that the fact that we are here, that we are alive, proves that we were once born. It is the evidences. All the evidences, those spiritual evidences found in a child of God, which proves that he was born again, which proves that he is blessed with his God-given gift of faith, that he has grace in the heart, that faith looking unto Jesus, that faith to forsake all, to take up a cross and to follow him, that faith to be his disciple, that faith to look to him, to believe in him, that faith to hope in God's mercy, that faith to come boldly unto the throne of grace. You see, there's an evidence, for behold, he prayeth. And I do feel where that was spoken to Ananias concerning Saul of Tarsus, I believe Saul of Tarsus was in a closet, praying in secret, crying out for mercy. He now knew himself a sinner. All his self-righteousness had been stripped away. And he felt naked, opened, and exposed unto God and the wrath of God. Always he would have looked back upon his life, especially persecuting the disciples of Jesus. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Ah, but how he hoped in God's mercy. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, where mercy is to be found. And he, Jesus, is the propitiation of our sins, the mercy seat. The throne of grace in the New Testament answers to the mercy seat in the Old Testament, where God would be merciful and awaken sinners. These souls who were born again, all these souls shown themselves as lost, ruined, guilty, hell-deserving sinners, as you have been singing. Oh, how they seek the mercy of God. And believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, so they come to him, believing that his precious blood cleanseth from all sin, believing that his spotless robe of righteousness alone is acceptable unto God, believing that we have no righteousness of our own, nothing good, nothing worthy, nothing of any merit, nothing of any acceptance.
that we are poor, fallen, guilty sinners, believing that this man receiveth sinners, not in the sense that those Jews spoke against the Lord Jesus. Those words were meant in derision. In modern day language, they tried to put him down. But the words of sacred meaning have to every sensible sinner, or to everyone needing the mercy of God. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Lord from heaven. And remember, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday as it was then, and today, so it is now, and forever. He receiveth sinners. Yes, the very worst of sinners. All the most defiled sinners. All the most wicked sinners. But those who feel their need of him. And so by faith, they come to him. They come to him at the throne of grace. They come to him in the word of his grace. They come to him in the means of grace. Oh, they come to him hoping, pleading, begging, praying that Jesus will be gracious, will not cast them away, but will receive them, or will save them, even from all of their sins, or even to show them himself by the eye of faith to behold a precious Jesus. He who showeth himself through the lattice of his word, the lattice of the gospel, where the eye of faith beholds a precious Jesus. I do believe there are those here tonight longing for that eye of faith to behold yon lovely man. Then there is the ear of faith, if you will, the hearing of faith. My sheep hear my voice. And again, I believe there are those of you here, some of you feel sure, have that humble hope that you have heard the voice of your beloved. There are others of you, I believe, who are burdened, exercised, troubled, longing to hear his voice. Oh, is it so with you as it was with the psalmist? You must hear his voice. Be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit. O thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken unto thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Or is it not when the Spirit applies the word of God? Or when that word of God is received into the heart? Or the hearing of faith to hear the voice of our beloved? Then that faith, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. At all times, in every place, looking unto Jesus. Running with patience, oh, the way that we take. If we are amongst the true disciples of the Lord Jesus, then by faith, we follow him. Now remember, almost the first prayer of Saul of Tarsus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? If our religion is real, if it is of God, if we are blessed with this true faith, that should be our continual prayer. And really to mean what we pray. To be made willing in the day of his power to know and to do the Lord's will. The apostle writing to one of the churches, and be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And a child of God in exercise will ever seek to know what the will of the Lord is. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, dear soul, would you not be found under the Lord's smile, blessing, approbation, than under his rod of correction, than under his frown? Would you not rather have the blessing of the Holy Spirit than to grieve the Holy Spirit? All that faith, waiting upon God. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. These souls who are truly found waiting upon God, it's by faith. It's by faith. All that we have need of, patience. How we seek immediate answers to our prayers. How we struggle when the Lord is silent. How we struggle perhaps if we have to wait. If we have to wait patiently, learning what patience really is. And that faith to be still and know that I am God. That faith to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In Isaiah we read, their strength is to stand still. All this faith, which looks to the Lord, which trusts in the Lord, which depends upon the Lord, which waits upon the Lord, which follows the Lord, which believes in the word of God. All this is the faith of God's elect. You think of that wonderful chapter, Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you read of all of those characters set forth there, who in their day and age and generation in such different ways were called to follow the Lord and to trust in the Lord. And how the Lord strengthened them, how the Lord upheld them, how the Lord kept them, and how the faithful God proved himself faithful time and time and time again. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You see, it's living faith. And no man can keep alive his own soul. If we think that we have strong faith, if we do not suffer with any doubts and fears, never troubled with the besetting sin of unbelief. If we feel our faith is always constant, always firm, always sure, we know nothing of the temptations of Satan. And I feel I can go as far as to say, you know nothing of the dealings of the Lord. Now, the Lord's dear people, they come into these places. They come into these troubles, they come into these trials, they come into these tribulations, they come into these temptations, where sometimes they fear that their faith will fail. Or they come into storms. At times, like Peter here, they know what it is to fall. It's a very, very painful experience for a child of God when he falls. Very painful for Samson as he did grind in the mill. All his strength was gone. Oh, very painful for David when the prophet came and he saw that he had sinned so grievously against God. All very painful for Peter. You see, like all the Lord's people, they still have that old nature. And that old nature, it can be so proud and like to boast. Ah, Peter, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death.
He meant it. He loved his master. But he didn't know his own weakness. He thought his faith was so strong that it wouldn't matter if he would cast into prison. It wouldn't matter if he had to go to death. And Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. So I meditated upon this word, travelling up, I think. Something rather struck me. And we read of it. You see, they had the two swords, didn't they? And we left our reading before the mob led by Judas came to arrest the Lord Jesus. And yet Peter was very swift to take out that sword and to use it. He was so brazen, he was so bold, he was so courageous. Oh, he thought he could stand there. But Jesus told him to put away his sword. And then he followed Jesus afar off into the high priest's house. Satan used another tactic, another temptation, another strategy, if you like. You see, Satan knows our weaknesses. And it was a maid who kept the door. And all she said unto Peter, this man was also with him. Now, I myself believe that John, the disciple, was also there. We read nothing of John, but you see, it was Peter who boasted, though all men deny thee, so were not I. I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. It was that sin of pride. Or he was ready to use his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane. But now, in the high priest's house, near the hall, this certain maid, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also one of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Only a few hours before, Peter, so bold, so courageous, thought he could stand. And yet how he fell, 3 times according to the word of the Lord. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. It wasn't a look of anger. It wasn't a look of disappointment. It wasn't a look which killed Peter. No, I believe it was a look of compassion and love. It was too much for Peter. He remembered the word of the Lord and he went out. I just pause there. He went out. We read of Judas also being convicted of his sin. And he went out. Judas was brought to see what he had done. All for filthy lucre, all for those 50 pieces of silver. He would deny, so speak against the Lord Jesus. And Judas went out and hung himself. You might say committed suicide. Took his own life. We cannot imagine the guilt that Peter himself must have felt. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. A child of God in and of himself is as weak as water. Oh, how dependent we are upon the Lord to keep us and strengthen us. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from all evil. Evil thoughts, evil imaginations. The evils of our own hearts, of which we read, the heart is deceitful above all things, and so desperately wicked, so desperately evil. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. I just want to speak to those of you here tonight who are seeking Jesus. That is, you long to know him as your Lord and Saviour. You long to know your sins forgiven, pardoned. You long to obtain God's mercy. You long to find grace in his sight. You long to know not only that he shed his blood, but, or ye shall say, for me. You long to be enabled to say that my beloved is mine and I am his. And perhaps for some time now you have been seeking, but you just feel that you haven't found him. And the great fear is that you never will find him. Oh, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Does Satan tempt thee to give up? No more to call on Jesus' name. I believe every child of God knows what it is to be tempted to give up. Oh, you dear soul, seeking and yet not finding. And you've been tempted to give up. To give up seeking. Feeling there is no hope. No salvation. Oh, tempted to turn back and seek him no more. Every time we venture to the throne of grace in prayer, there is faith. There is that faith looking unto Jesus. Oh, there is that faith praying for mercy. And yet, oh, when we cannot find him, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come unto his seat. And yet finding him not. That temptation to give up can be very strong, very powerful. But dear soul, remember the word of God. The Lord help you to plead his word. You see, it's these promises which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Seek, and ye shall find. You shall seek me and find me when ye seek me diligently with all your heart. Ah, then the thought may come, well, then I cannot seek him diligently with all my heart. Oh, it's no good. I'm too poor. I'm too unbelieving. I'm too full of doubts and fears. Well, may the Lord help you to pray. Oh, Lord, who grant me that I might seek thee diligently with all my heart. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Oh, let me tell you this. You dear seeking souls, as you are seeking him, is it not because the Lord has put it into your heart to seek him in humble hope of finding him? Or is it not that the Lord is drawing you unto himself in your felt need of him to save you from all of your sins? And if Jesus is the author of your faith, he will be the finisher also. The time of love will come when ye shall clearly see, not only that he shed his blood, but ye shall say, for me, because I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Is one and another also tempted that you're not one of the elect? You're not one of the chosen? Or you've had that temptation that your religion is not real? Or that you perhaps have sinned beyond the limits of God's love and mercy? Or do you feel that there is no hope for you, no salvation for you? And yet has the Lord not so wrought in your heart that hope of salvation? Oh, remember the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. Precious blood, sin-atoning blood. Oh, may we not be left to limit the Holy One of Israel, to limit his love, to limit his mercy. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I believe there may be some of you here tonight and you have certain troubles, trials, tribulations, storms in your life. And as such, you cry unto the Lord for deliverance. You cry unto the Lord for help. You cry unto the Lord to appear. You cry unto the Lord to bring you through. But perhaps matters are only getting worse and worse. A thought of the Apostle Paul, and I believe Luke was with him, and others who were in that vessel going eventually to Rome in the Mediterranean, and that great storm came down upon them, and for 14 days they were driven up and down the Mediterranean Sea. And we read, having not seen sun nor stars for 14 days, and all hope that we should be saved seemed to be taken away. They feared, literally, shipwreck. They feared that they would perish in the sea. And after 14 days and nights in such a storm, in such a condition, you can imagine their physical weakness. They could barely sleep at night. You can imagine all the prayers the godly had been praying to God to appear. Oh, when they thought of Jesus twice on the Sea of Galilee, that calm, peace be still. But there was no peace be still at all. The storm continued, it raged on. And all hope that we should be saved seemed to be taken away. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I only need to mention Job. And that which came upon Job. Now God is sovereign, but Satan obtained leave. Satan seemed jealous that Job served God. God had prospered Job outwardly. He had children, he had substance, he was a rich man, he was a great man in that part of the earth at that time. Doth Job serve thee for naught? Take all these things away, and he will deny thee. He is in thine hands. Only spare his life. All those calamities that befell Job, and then the taking away of his health. Oh, then his wife almost turning against him, curse God and die. And then the three friends who came to comfort him proved to be miserable comforters, only judged him.
poor Job. How that man did struggle. There he was, almost in Satan's sieve. It was his faith that was being shaken. His faith in God. Oh, no doubt the enemy was roaring. Where is now thy God? Is the enemy roaring that to a soul here tonight? In your troubles, in your darkness, in your sorrows, in your disappointments, in your setbacks, in your losses, in your unanswered prayers, the Lord hiding his face, and Jesus had not come unto them, is it toiling and rowing? Where is now thy God? These are real temptations. They're the fiery darts of the wicked one. Oh, when they hit, they can hurt. Or they can prove very, very painful. They can knock us down. And at times it seems, oh, we fear, it is a real fear, great fear. We fear that our faith in God, oh, our faith that the Lord will come, the Lord will appear, the Lord will overturn. Oh, our faith feels to be failing. Just think of Jeremiah. What a life he had. Oh, they cast him into prison. They cast him into the pit. And how he sunk in the mire. He felt to be cut off. How painful, how distressing that must have been to that dear man of God, that most faithful prophet. Or when it seemed that his life was cut off, waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. That's the end. There's no hope. I shall die here. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Or if you feel to be in a low dungeon tonight, spiritually, or in your path or your circumstances, the Lord help you to call upon his name. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. The Lord's people at times come into some very, very low places. Or they come into some very, very dark places. They come into some very, very long tunnels where there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. When, oh, when will it be day? Yes, they come into some very, very long nights. And you see, it is a trial of their faith. This God-given faith. And yet we may fear that we have no faith. It's all wood, hay and stubble. It's all going to be burnt up. There's going to be nothing left. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When Jesus constrained his disciples into the ship to go over the other side before him, he himself went up into a mountain to pray. And it was now dark, and Jesus had not come unto them, but he saw them. It was dark. He saw them. They couldn't see him. It may have been too far away, even if it was daytime. But that's not the point. Oh, it was dark. So dark with them, but not dark with him. He saw them. He looked down upon them. He went up into the mountain to pray unto his Father. But he saw them. He was in prayer, but he saw them. But I have prayed for thee. He saw them toiling in rowing because the wind was contrary. The wind was against them. It wasn't behind them.
they were labouring. I understand if it was calm, the disciples could have got to their destination in just an hour or two. And the suggestion seems to be it was evening time when they launched forth. It was the fourth watch of the night when Jesus came unto them. They were toiling and rowing all night. It was hard labour. It was laborious. They must have been so tired. They must have been so weak. I wonder how many times they got to the point, we cannot carry on. If I remember rightly, I think J.K. Popham, when I think it's about the time he commenced his pastorate at Gilead, and remember he was pastor for a few years at Liverpool before that, and I think he was very tried about his position and circumstances, and apparently in a vestry at Gilead, he just leaned against the fireplace and he just prayed to the Lord, being so much troubled, Lord, I cannot carry on like this. Is there one here tonight? Toiling in rowing. Things are so hard, things are so trying, things are so difficult. Lord, I cannot carry on like this. You may have to carry on a little longer, dear friend. But be assured of this, this is the Lord speaking, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. I'll give one more, then we leave it. Joseph in the prison, the butler and the baker come, the interpretation of their dream. Do not interpretations belong unto God? But Joseph, what of your dreams? Especially when he hears the outcome concerning the butler restored, a baker hung, according to the interpretation of the dreams. And as he said to the butler, oh, but remember me. No, he forgot him. Oh, the butler forgot Joseph, but God had not forgotten Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, whose feet they hurt with fetters. The iron entered into his soul. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. 2 full years. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. The king sent and loosed him, and made him governor over Egypt. Jacob cried out, all these things are against me, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren, and tell them, and we know that all things work together for good, to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren, pray for them.
God willing, Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Gilbert Hyde on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. 329.
And now, may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.